And looking forward to what the Lord's got for us. Feeling like we need to just keep on this particular thought, looking at these young men here. And just what the Bible has to teach about them. Amen. So Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." The Bible says in verse 6, "And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey." What we'd like to do today, the Lord's direction here, I'd like to bring our sermon on this thought of a fitting young man. A fitting young man. Gracious Father in heaven, would you thank you, Lord, one more time for all of your blessings and all of your protection, your grace, your wonder, your forgiveness, your peace, and everything else that just is failing to come to mind, but yet it is you. Thank you, Father. I ask you now, Father, please, for your blessings here upon this time of the sermon, and help me, Lord, please, to present it the way that you'd have me to, that it would be a help to each and every one that'll be tuning in here. Everyone in the sound of my voice, that they will get exactly what it is that they need from you. Not because it has anything to do with me, but because it's all you. We ask you, Father, for each one of the prayer requests been made known and the unspoken. For those who had surgery here this past week, Mary Lou and Titus both come to mind here. We pray, Lord, for rapid recovery for both of them. We ask you, Father, for Brother Henry Allen and all that he's going through. And we thank you, Lord, that my parents have gotten over their illness. And do pray, Lord, for everything that they're going through with Dad and his dementia. And we ask you, Father, for Wesley Poston and all his medical conditions. And we do pray, Lord, for him. And for all those who are going to be traveling about here today with all the snow and ice, for the safe passage to their destination and back home again. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for saving us and for keeping us, in spite of the fact we deserve none of it. In Jesus' precious name, we do cry out, Abba, Father. Amen and amen. All right, a fitting young man. We chose the word fitting because it means to be appropriate, suitable, or proper. In other words, this is exactly what is required, what is needed at the moment. And as we look today at John the Baptist, we see this young man who has been sent to bear witness of the arrival, not the coming of the Messiah, as it has been for all these centuries there in the Old Testament, but finally the arrival. The time is at hand. He is here on the scene. 400 years of silence from God is now being broken as John the Baptist here is going to be coming out and begin his ministry, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when it comes to predicting this forerunner of Christ and all that he was going to do for the Lord, may I say he fit the bill perfectly. That this man, his resume was spot on. He was the proper thing for the situation. And I want you to notice here a few things about John the Baptist that made him such a fitting young man this morning. I want you to notice first of all here that he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. If we were to turn back a couple of books there to the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter number 4. We find Malachi prophesies this in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before me, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And he was coming in the strength and power of Elijah. I think we can all agree that Elijah was a very powerful prophet. He was a man who was on fire for God. And so any sort of prophecies about a prophet coming along who would be in cut from the same cloth as Elijah was, you were looking at somebody here who God was going to be able to use. And certainly we preached a couple of years back there a series of sermons on the prophet Elijah. And if you'd like to check those out, you can go to sermonaudio.com and find our sermon series there. And I believe that would be a help to you, especially if you want to know a little bit more here about John the Baptist and just what sort of presence this man was going to have on the scene as he served as Lord. Because Elijah was a solid preacher. Someone who was able to get the people's attention. He very nearly had the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, on the verge of revival at one point. And Malachi writes, hey, this forerunner, he's going to come and he's going to be able to get the hearts of the dads and the kids right with one another. You say, well, what big deal is that? Dads and sons tend to butt heads. The sons begin to feel their oats. They begin to think they know what is best, and that dad's a dummy. Dad's looking at the kids, they're a big dummy. They'll never get it. But then when God moves into their lives and he begins to work, the dads and the kids begin to work together again. They begin to come to an understanding. Their love, their bond begins to grow. And John the Baptist was going to be leading such a revival in the lives of the people there in the nation of Israel. Hey, we see here that the people of Judea, they were flocking to him to come and get baptized. The people of Jerusalem were coming, flocking to him to get baptized. That whole business there of getting baptized, it's a little bit on the special side. Because what it is that Gentiles, when they would convert to Judaism, they'd have to make the profession. They would have to be circumcised. And then lastly, they'd have to be baptized to show that they had put away the old religious beliefs of their Gentile ways and were now fully embracing Judaism. For these Jews, these Hebrew people to come and be baptized of John, they were saying, whatever God's new plan is, we want that. And John's saying, hey, it's all about the kingdom of heaven because it is at hand. Even when you go over there to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, verses 15 through 17, let me turn there real quickly here. Give you a little bit more of a glimpse of his power here as he fulfills Old Testament prophecy. Gabriel is talking to Zacharias here. And he says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Didn't we just talk about that? And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, verse 16 and 17, we basically just covered that. But it said there in verse 15, he's going to be filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Ghost. Now, Elijah, like we said, he was a great preacher. He was a great prophet of the Lord. But he just walked onto the scene. At what point did he get his filling of the Holy Spirit? We do not know. But we know John the Baptist was going to be filled from his mother's womb with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. That's why he was such a fitting young man. He was also a fitting young man because he figured one of the Old Testament prophets. Let me turn back over there to Matthew 17. And we're expounding here upon this whole business with Elijah at the moment. Matthew 17. If I get my fingers to turn there. verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And then again over in John chapter 1, let me read this verse over here because this is important for what we're dealing with here at the moment. John chapter number 1. Again, my fingers are not wanting to turn there. Verse number 21. We've got this entourage that has arrived from Jerusalem, and they're beginning to question John the Baptist. And they ask in verse 21, and they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they even asked him outright, "Are you, John the Baptist, really Elijah?" He says, "No, I'm not. I'm just a figure. I'm just a shadow of what he was there." And to a degree, they accepted that. Because John didn't do what they expected Elijah to do when he came. See, he didn't call down fire to destroy his enemies. Nor did he call for a drought. He didn't dress in fine clothes. Nor did he live in a nice house. He didn't eat good food. Locusts and wild honey. Didn't even eat the holy bird. He praised God for fried chicken. He didn't even preach in their synagogues. They didn't like none of that. You know what else they didn't like? When he preached, he got to his point. And he drove the point home, church. Elijah comes wearing camel's hair. He had him a leather belt and all that. He ain't dressed to the nines. He ain't eating all that fancy food. He ain't got a house to live in that we are aware of. But when you challenged him the wrong way, he called down fire. Whether it be on Mount Carmel or it be against the 100 that came 50 each time there to arrest him. He called for the drought. John the Baptist came calling to end the drought. The drought for the spirit. The people who are just going through the motions. The people who were blindly following the Pharisees. The Pharisees, let me just say this real quickly. The order started off good as a means to get the people back solely focused on God and His laws. But like everything that involves man, it began to fall apart here. And they began to add all these other nonsense that God had not prescribed and make burdens heavier and all this other stuff here. John comes into town and says, "Hey, look. I'm here to point you to the Messiah. He's coming. He's just days away from coming." How do I know that? Well, while I was in my mother's womb, his earthly mama came and told my mama that she's pregnant. And as praise God, I started jumping in my own mother's womb. Y'all need to repent of your sins. You need to get your hearts right with God. You need to be following what thus saith the Lord. And I will preach it here in the wilderness. I will preach it by the riverside. I will preach it in your towns. I will preach it on the mountaintops. I will preach it in the valley. I will get my point across to you. And you will hear it. And you will be without excuse when the time comes. Kind of sounds just like Elijah. He was also a fitting young man because he finished the line of the Old Testament prophets. He finished the line of the Old Testament prophets. Preacher, he's in the New Testament. Yeah, I know. But everything from his conception, from the proclamation of his conception, there in Luke's Gospel chapter number 1, through to Herod executing him, all was before the cross. The cross, while the you've got chapter after chapter after chapter in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that come before the cross, they were written after the cross. Everything before the cross still falls under the category of being Old Testament. Yet you're still under the Old Covenant, in other words. Jesus called John a great prophet. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, church. Because now it was going to become Jesus dying upon the cross to save our souls from eternity in hell. He was looking forward to the cross, just like David was looking forward to the cross. Daniel's looking forward to the cross. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all of them were looking forward to the cross, whether they realized it or not. John didn't even realize that he was looking forward to the cross. He just knew that the Messiah was the one, and that Jesus is the one that he's looking forward to. So he finished that line, that lineage of those great prophets. As such, may I say that he fingered the one the Old Testament prophets spoke of. Those Old Testament prophets, they could only see the high points, if you will. They were on the top of one mountain and they were looking across at these other mountains, and they would see some of what would form the mountains. They would see mountain peaks, but they could not see the valleys. They could not see the way to get from mountain to mountain to mountain. They only got to see the high points. So they knew a Messiah was coming. They knew the Savior of the world was coming. They didn't know his name was going to be Jesus. They knew his name was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. They knew he was going to be born of a virgin. They knew he would be born in the town of Bethlehem, of the seed of David. And that's why we get bits and pieces about Jesus' life there, such as Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Psalm 69. Hey, how about Daniel 3:25? Daniel 3:25, that's prophecy? Yeah. Hold Nebuchadnezzar, he's thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire there, and he looks out there and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. How many did we cast into the fire? 3, O king. Yeah, I see 4, and that 4th looks like the Son of God. Didn't even know he was prophesying there. So he was, but Jesus was actually there, yeah. But he was prophesying that whenever we go into the fire, Jesus is going to be there for us too. Praise God! But Jesus was no longer coming, church. He'd finally arrived. Let's look back there at Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, verse 7. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Let me just pause real quickly and deal with this one, because I got this one stuck in my craw. You see, what would happen is back in the day, you had to take off your own shoe because of everything you would step in along the way. Dirt roads, and animals did their business wherever. It got nasty. You couldn't ask your family to do it for you. You couldn't ask a hired servant to do it for you. But a slave, you could demand that they do it. And they would have to stoop down and get themselves right down there in the nasty to take off your shoe for you. John the Baptist saying, hey, that one who's coming, who's mightier than me, I'm not even good enough to have the privilege to get down there and unloose his shoes so we can take his shoes off. And he's here. Verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. John just said, I'm not worthy of the privilege to undo his shoe. And yet Jesus comes to him and says, I want you to baptize me. That call to repentance that John was doing there. Jesus says, all right, we're taking this the next step. The next step, church. Because now you need to baptize me because of this way now that I am making manifest is going to be the way of the cross. It is going to be the need to be saved. And I am going to die upon that cross and to be risen again the third glorious day. So as that whosoever shall believe in me is going to get saved, Jesus says here. And it's going to be symbolized in those who believe by when they are dunked underwater and then they are brought back up. That they have died to their old ways. They have died to the flesh and they have been risen again and unto life eternal. Now getting dunked in that water ain't going to save you. It just symbolizes what Jesus has done for you. That's what the baptism now is going to represent. Jesus is basically telling John. And John says, this is the one, church. I told you he was coming. Hey, right here, folks, right here. This is the man. Dunks Jesus under that water, brings him back up. The Spirit descends and lands on him in the form of a dove. The voice from heaven, God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John fingered him. That's the man. This is the one you're looking for. This is the only one who can save your soul from eternity in hell. This is the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to get to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Your religion is not going to do it. Your saints are not going to do it. Your money's not going to do it. Your standing in the community is not going to do it. Your heritage ain't going to do it. No matter who your family is, ain't going to do it. No matter what church you go to, ain't going to do it. It's Jesus, is what John declares. May I say lastly, he was a fitting young man because he fulfilled the desire of the Old Testament prophets. John chapter number 3 and verse number 27. This John the Baptist answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He understood Jesus was about to get his bride. Now, the way the Jewish custom was that the marriage would be arranged. God had already made the arrangements. Did it before he even created the world, how he was going to go about buying the salvation of all of us sinners. He's now been betrothed there when he arrived on this planet. He died there upon the cross of Calvary and was raised again that third glorious day. But the final step were he takes and brings us into his house. That's going to take place when he splits that eastern sky. And we are called up together to be with him forever. In the sweet by and by, we're going to fly away one day. Unlike all the other prophets, John the Baptist lived long enough to see Jesus arrive on planet Earth. They wanted to see it. John got to live it. Yeah, he was a fitting young man. And he was a man who wanted to serve his Lord. So he did his best for his Savior. I want to ask you here one question in closing. Our own resumes. Will they be enough to point out Jesus? For others to see Jesus in us? Or will we come up short? I know there are times when we're going to fail and circumstances are going to make us look like we're totally off, we're wrong, we're lying, we're doing anything and everything except pointing away to Jesus. Don't let that hold you back. Go forward for the Lord. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, God, for all you've done for us, and do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. Help us, Lord, please, to be obedient to you, to follow your holy will. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we do ask you, Lord, that everyone will have gotten what they need out of the sermon. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.